This is Photo Biz X, episode number 195, and today's special guest describes himself as the world's most helpful photographer. He's built a successful photography business in a low-income city in the UK. He doesn't have a studio, and he believes if he can do it, anyone can. I'm talking about Dan Waters, and that interview's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the Photo Biz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images and welcome to this episode of the podcast. Looking forward to bringing you this one today. Before I jump in and share a little bit about my week and what's been happening in my life, if you get a chance, check out Dan's website before you listen into the interview. You can find it at danwaterscreative.com. And the reason I suggest you do that is because it'll give you a better understanding of some of the topics that we discuss about Dan and his approach to attracting the business that he does in the small town that he lives in. So that's danwaterscreative.com. And you should find a link in whatever podcast app or player you're listening to the podcast right in the very first sentence. I place it there every single week so you can easily check out who and what we're talking about in the interviews. And regarding me and what's been happening in my life, it's my son, Jordan, my youngest son, Jordan's 17th birthday today. As usual, Linda, my wife, she's posted a few photos up on Facebook wishing him a happy birthday. She does this for friends and family. She does an amazing job of putting together these little mini collages. And every time I see one, they become an emotional tearjerker, especially when it's one of my family and particularly one of my boys. You know, looking back at these photos to think, where the hell are 17 years gone? It has simply flown by. And one of the things I can't help wondering is if I've done enough as a parent, if I've spent enough time with my kids, if I've given them the time that they deserve, you know, have I put everything in that I can? And often the answer in my head is no. Especially when I look at these photos of, you know, when they were 5, 6, 2, 3 years old, you know, all the way up to 17, it just blows me away. And I think, where has that time gone? It's just gone so quickly. And of course, I'm super proud of the young men that both my boys have become, but it's so difficult to look at those photos and think, wow, I didn't spend enough time, you know, with them through those different periods. You know, I was so focused on building the business, you know, shooting weddings, publishing things to social media, improving my photography or just playing with my photography and enjoying that, you know, working on the business, trying to stay fit and do some sport as well, spend time with Linda. I mean, life is so busy. And I think as a small business owner, every waking moment is spent thinking about the business or scheduling something for the future. You know, we're always putting something in the diary for the future, whether it's a shoot, an appointment, a Skype call, a wedding booking, a portrait booking, an engagement shoot. You know, there's always diary entries going in and we always seem to be working towards the future. And I think it's important to stop and realize how good life is and to take the time that we should with our loved ones. You know, whether that's your kids or your wife or your parents, you know, whoever it may be, take the time to enjoy those moments because it goes so fast. And if you're a younger photographer than me, and there's a good chance that you are, there's a bit of a pause here because I'm trying to remember how old I actually am. I want to say 45. And it is. Yeah, I'm 45. I thought I was 46 then for a second, but that's going to be next month. So yeah, 45 years old. And I remember when I was younger, older people than me would say, you know, take the time to enjoy life, you know, and enjoy those little moments. And time goes so quickly. Your kids grow so fast. And it's like when you're younger, it's easy to ignore that kind of advice, because time doesn't seem to be going so fast. But suddenly you look back and you will be 45 and it's like, wow, my kids are growing up. You know, they've both left school. Where has it gone and how did it go so quickly? So that's what's been occupying my mind certainly this morning. And I'm going to make a conscious effort to really enjoy the time that I do have with my boys. Not that they're going anywhere soon. I've got big plans to go traveling with Linda, but she wants them to stay at home until they're 39 years old, if she can. So yeah, that's where we differ slightly. As much as I love my boys, I'm happy for them to make their own lives at the same time and come and visit as often as they want. Is that ambiguous what I'm saying now? I might be giving a mixed message here. I truly love them. I want them to stay here as long as they want to stay here, but I certainly won't hold them back from growing up and becoming the men that I know they can be and creating the lives for themselves that they want to. So this probably hasn't got a lot to do with business. On the other hand, to me, it does, because being a small business owner, it's easy to become overly focused on the business. So the message is, do that, but enjoy every moment and switch off from work when you have that family time if you can.
And now, a macro look at the last episode.
In the last episode, I interviewed Meredith Adelaide, the vagabond self-portrait artist traveling in the United States, surviving day to day, but creating a wonderfully large audience at the same time and concentrating on creativity more than anything else and creating a life more so than a living. I asked for some feedback following that interview because I really did feel I was skirting the edges of what this podcast is all about. And look, I think I was pretty spot on. The first comments that come through inside the members' Facebook group was, Andrew, you're way off the mark. This podcast should have been on the Photography Experiment podcast. There are quite a few comments like that. But then things started to even out a little bit more. Other members loved hearing Meredith's story. They thought the fact that she is going about her business, I guess, back to front, you could say, where most of us tend to get in and focus on business and creating a living early on in our life and then on the travel and leisure and creativity later in life, Meredith is just doing the exact opposite of that. So yeah, I was hearing both sides of the story. I totally get that. I knew that it wasn't going to be the usual business interview. But all in all, I think Mark Bernhardt summed things up perfectly in regard to Meredith's business and the way she's approaching her art. He says inside the Facebook group, I have to agree that Meredith Adelaide is in the photography business, just not in the traditional way. We've always had starving artists and poets who want to spend as much time as possible creating at the expense of everything else we chase after. The difference between a painter and Meredith is the painter has gallery showings, while Meredith has a continual gallery on Instagram. This is a valid business model and could apply to many professionals who are considering a break by going on a sabbatical. Definitely two different opinions or two different sides of the fence in regard to that interview with Meredith. Look, it's not going to be a normal interview. I know this podcast is focused on the business of being a wedding and a portrait photographer, but I really did feel what Meredith brought to the table was 100% relevant. And it was a side to business that deserved to be heard. In addition to all the comments inside the members' Facebook group, one of the best things to come out of that interview were the self-portraits being shared inside the group amongst members. It's been very, very cool. Simon Hawkins kicked things off with a great photo, and it's continued on from there. Some I can see have a great sense of humour, particularly my wife, Linda, who found an old photo of me that I'm not even going to try and describe, which was totally unfair. But I did hop on board and contributed my own self-portrait, and I'm looking forward to seeing more pop up in the coming weeks. If you are listening to the free podcast and you want to play along, then use the PhotoBizX Facebook page or post a self-portrait to Instagram and use the hashtag PhotoBizX. And I'd love to check out what you come up with.
Want to know more about Andrew? Follow him on Instagram at Andrew_Helmich.
Alrighty, we're going to jump into this interview with Dan Waters, the world's most helpful photographer, which you'll hear more about in the interview. If you're listening to the free podcast episode, and you are, if you're hearing this announcement, then as usual, I am saving the best parts of the interview for premium members. You can trial that if you want to for $1 over at photobizx.com/try. If you go and sign up there, you can get full access to today's interview with Dan, plus access to the full back catalogue. And you'll also get an invite to the secret Facebook group for premium members, where you'll get to play along with some of the fun that happens behind the scenes there. And you'll also find a valuable group of photographers to help you grow in your photography business at the same time. And if you're listening to this episode of the podcast early after its release, you might still have time to get onto the Black Friday special, where you can get a 12-month membership for $120, which is half the cost of the normal $20 per month membership. So head over to photobizx.com/Black Friday if you want to make use of that before the end of the week.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest, Dan Waters, describes himself as the world's most helpful photographer. On his about page, Dan says, I'm running a project to do something nice for someone from every country on earth. That's amazing. With a marketing background, Dan has built a successful photography business in a low-income city in the UK. He doesn't have a studio, and he believes if he can do it, anyone can. After some research and before asking Dan onto the show, I wanted to make sure he'd be a good fit for you and for me. I asked him a series of questions and was happily surprised at each of his replies, and I knew then he'd make the perfect guest for PhotoBizX. Once we'd set a date, Dan asked, "What would you like to cover? Here are a few things I can happily talk about." And he sent me a list: how I book 89% of wedding clients who meet me, the huge mistakes photographers make with their website, how to create special offers that encourage people to book you, how to triple your income without raising your prices, and how to become the most famous photographer in town. Now, I can't promise we're going to get through all of these, but I have a feeling this is going to be a jam-packed episode. Dan, welcome, mate.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks very much for having me on. I'm really excited to be chatting to you, and hopefully I'll be able to add some value.
With that list, I know you will. Can you really help with all those things?
Not in an hour.
No, I didn't think so.
It's 9 a.m. here, so I've got kind of, well, I haven't got all day. I've got a couple of appointments, but, you know, effectively I could have all day. You'd have to stay up all night if we were going to cover all this stuff. So.
Well, I'm going to try and pin you down on a few important ones, and we'll see how we go from there.
Right, cool.
But do you remember the emails that we're exchanging backwards and forwards before we set a date?
Absolutely, yeah.
One of the things I asked you was, because I know you have another website where you actually help photographers, which is Get Pro Photo Club. Is that how you say it?
Yep, getprophotoclub.com, yeah.
Okay, so that site there is to help photographers do what?
Well, it's to help them with the business side of photography because, you know, there's a million and one sites on how to improve your photography, but there aren't so many on the business side. And, you know, as you well know, there's a lot of photographers that are struggling. I mean, the average photographer is struggling. That the average photographer is probably not full time and wants to be full time. So we're kind of focused a little bit more on the part time photographers who want to go full time. So we're really helping them with that. But obviously, a lot of the things we talk about could help anybody as well. So
for sure. When I see a guest has got a website where they're helping other photographers, first of all, I get excited about that, but I also get a bit worried because I know that the listener can sometimes be a bit cynical and they think, well, look, here's another guy that's trying to cash in on photographers rather than be a photographer. But you have a photography business as well, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a full-time photographer, and yeah, it does make me chuckle. I think I said this on the email. It makes me chuckle when people say, oh, look, he's teaching photography because he can't make it as a photographer. And it's often a common response. I look at like Facebook ads and stuff from, you know, from people that are teaching photography. And sometimes the responses, the comments underneath are like, oh, you know, you couldn't make it as a photographer and things like that. I discovered how much harder it is to do what you do with PhotoBiz Expose than it is with photography. I found it, the lessons I learned in photography could be applied and would succeed much more easily than with kind of online marketing kind of websites like yours, PhotoBiz Expose and Get Pro Photo Club. So yeah, it always makes me chuckle, that one.
So the bulk of your living is still coming from your photography business?
Oh yeah, pretty much 100%. Yeah. Get Pro Photo Club is very much a sideline, and you know, I'm sure it will grow in the future, but it's not making a huge impact on my day-to-day living, that's for sure.
Okay, sure. Is the whole Get Pro Photo Club, is that part of the project to help do something nice for someone from every country on earth, or is that a separate thing?
Yeah, it's a separate thing, yeah. I haven't ticked Australia off yet, actually, to be fair, so I'll send you a bunch of flowers.
Well, you're doing something nice for me right now by coming on the show.
Well, I don't know. I kind of do this anyway. It kind of feels like cheating, but yeah, so, but yeah, it's a different thing. Get Pro Photo Club is something. I've always been interested in business. I mean, I've studied business from, well, since I was 16. So from school, I went to college and did business studies. And then from college, I went to university and did more business studies and then followed the marketing stream there. Or if you're in America, I majored in marketing. And then I've had marketing jobs, you know, all through my adult life until I became a photographer. So yeah, it's just been something that I've always enjoyed. And so I'm a bit weird like that, I guess. Most photographers have to do this stuff because they've realized that they have to do it. They have to learn it. But I actually kind of, I was doing that first and really enjoyed it and then enjoyed photography and obviously put the two things together.
So did that help you, I guess? I mean, I'm sure it would have helped you, but do you think that speeded up the process to become successful as a photographer, that marketing background?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'd always had a great passion for marketing. And as soon as I wanted to set up my photography business, I already knew that I need to be looking at sites like your own, like all the others out there, and just kind of seeing how those marketing techniques and sales techniques would apply to the photography business specifically. A lot of the things are kind of generic, like, you know, having testimonials, you know, you learn that in marketing anyway. But there are certain things that really are very distinctly applied to the photography industry, which wouldn't necessarily be the same in another industry. So I had to kind of find those little nuances. But yeah, from day one, I was jumping on websites like your own to discover those little nuances. And I found it really, really helpful. I mean, again, you touched on it. People kind of can be cynical about these kinds of sites, but they were immensely helpful to me, the kind of thing that you can learn from photographers that share like yourself. So people shouldn't be so darn cynical. I know it's a tough old world sometimes, but there are genuine people who really are trying to help.
For sure. Can you give me an example of one of these marketing things that you feel like applies to photography, but not so much the wider business world?
Right. So one of the things which really, I would say the biggest thing that helped me above everything else, it's not so much a marketing, it's more of a sales thing, actually. Actually, I hadn't studied sales so much. That was one thing that I really needed to get up to speed on. And it was the simple case of doing in-person sales. I mean, that just changed everything overnight. People say overnight and they use it as kind of like they don't really mean overnight, but it was literally the first time I went from doing sort of burning CDs and online sales. The very next time, or the first time that I did in-person sales, I quadrupled my sales. But I'll give you some numbers here, make it a little bit more specific. Okay. When I started out, I was doing online sales and getting, you know, hardly anything at all, you know.
Is this portraits or weddings?
Family portraits.
Okay, great. Okay. So yeah, you're getting almost no sales doing the online sales.
Online was virtually, you know, it was like £60 here, £60 there. It was very poor. I was also at the same time burning CDs. Despite all that history of kind of, you know, marketing, studying marketing, I still made a lot of mistakes other people did. So it's very understandable that people make these mistakes. But anyway, and I was burning CDs for like £150. So what's that in dollars? I don't know. Sort of
300?
About 300, isn't it? Yeah. So that's basically what I was doing. And then I did in-person sales. Very first time, I think it was £593. So that's sort of, you know, quadruple. And then the one after that was 1,200, which is, I don't know on the maths on that, but nearly 8-9 times. And yeah, so it just happens straight away. So I mean, I would imagine most of your listeners already kind of are doing in-person sales, but if there's anybody out there that isn't, then that is one thing that is just universal. It just, everybody you speak to, they see, you know, at least a triple of whatever they're doing with CDs and online sales. So
why did you even start with online sales instead of in-person sales, or why do you think other photographers do?
Well, it's easy. You know what? But the easy route isn't necessarily the best route, you know. Anything in life that's kind of worth doing is worth doing properly and so forth. And it's a fear factor. It's like, well, I suppose when you're starting out, you're thinking, what if they don't like the photographs? You know, am I good enough? And if they don't like the photographs, it's much better if I'm like not in front of them and having this really embarrassing situation. So it's all those kind of fears that go through your head. And, you know, when I was starting out, I didn't have kind of the confidence that I do now. And I think a lot of photographers struggle with confidence. I think it's something about being a creative kind of person, and we never feel we're good enough. And so I think there's a lot of those little demons that we all have, and I can relate to all of them. And you said at the beginning in the intro that, you know, if I can do it, anybody can. And, you know, some of those things are, yeah, I live in Peterborough in the UK, which is kind of a below average income city. And, you know, I don't have a studio. And I was that kind of funny looking kid at school that kind of got bullied. So, you know, we take a lot of those little hang ups and stuff into our adult lives. So, yeah, if I can kind of overcome some of those demons, then I think anybody can. I think I'm a good kind of role model for anybody that's struggling, because you can overcome all those baggage.
Fantastic. Just with your in-person sales, before we move on to something else, are you doing anything now that you think helps you get a good sale during the sales session? Like, you know, what is it that's making or having people spend more money with an in-person sales session with you?
Right. without going into all the details about why in-person sales is better in the first place, there's one extra thing that I found really useful, which is ProSelect, and in particular the ProSelect Room View feature. I love that. That's an Australian piece of software, which you can get through timeexposure.com. And the Room View feature is, what I love about it is when I go to meet the client before they hire me and I meet them at their home, okay, and while I'm there, I'm chatting about what they're looking for from the photography session and what's important to them about the photography and so on and so forth. But while I'm there, I photograph the walls of their home. Like I'll say, well, where are you thinking of having your photographs displayed in your home? Which right away already sows the seed that we're trying to get something put on their wall rather than, you know, CDs and things like that. We're very specific. So I photograph those wall spaces with a little ruler in the photograph. And then I go home, upload that into the software. And when I show them their photographs from their session, I can put them on the wall, on that photograph of their wall. It's all calibrated because there was a ruler in the photograph and the software kind of calibrates it. It kind of drag a little line along and say, right, if that's 12 inches, then it now knows how big everything else is in the image. So I can literally go through different sizes and show them how they would look on the wall. And my photography lab is actually affiliated with the software. So I can even put my frames around the photographs as well. So it's literally try before you buy. They're seeing it on their wall. What I love is that you don't have to be pushy and kind of say, oh, I think you should get a much bigger size. You know, if you don't have the software, you're kind of saying, oh, I really recommend you get a bigger size so you can see people's faces and it's going to look so much more impressive. And, you know, that sounds a little bit like, well, yeah, sure, you would say that, wouldn't you? You want me to get a larger size and spend more money. But when it's there in front of them, what I do is I actually start at the smallest size. So I plop it up there at like a 7x5. And then I just say, let me know when you feel the size is about right for the space. So I just go through the sizes and then they inevitably end up with a decent sized portrait, because let's face it, you know, if you photograph the space above a sofa or above a mantelpiece, something like that, then you're going to need sort of at least a 20x16 and generally much, much more. So they can see for themselves. So they sort of sell themselves on what they need, which I love.
Perfect. Okay, so with the ruler, are you using blue tack to hold the ruler to the wall? Like, how's that work?
Yeah, a few different things. Yeah, you can put blue tack on, or sometimes if it's, say, a sofa, I'll put like a book laid flat down on the back of the sofa and then the ruler kind of sort of stands on that.
So you do one shot with the ruler and one shot without? So you just use a ruler for a measurement and then don't use that one again? Or do you use the same photo with the ruler?
Oh, I use the same one, yeah. It just gives them an idea of the space. So, yeah, there is a ruler in it, but it's not really distracting from the idea I want them to get is an 8x10 in most situations isn't going to cut it. And they get it straight away, and it's so much quicker and more genuine and more, yeah, it just makes sense to them suddenly because they're seeing it for the
size. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I totally get that for sure. What about if you go to the client's house and they show you a position above the sofa and there's already a frame print there, maybe something old, something they don't want, and they say they want to replace that. Do you take that off the wall and then photograph that space blank with your ruler, or do you just photograph it with the existing picture there?
I've done both, yeah. So if it's easy to take off the wall, then, you know, I'll take it off the wall. But, you know, I'll sort of say, do you mind if I take it off the wall, or is it kind of really kind of on there and, you know, you'd prefer I didn't touch it? And I basically follow their lead. But if it's still on there when I'm taking the photograph, then in many ways it doesn't hurt, because it's at least, when I put in my photograph over the top, they're at least going to want the same size. And if it goes bigger, you're not going to see it anyway. So if the thing that's already there is at a decent size, then I'm going to be kind of replicating that, which is fine by me. But if it's not a decent size, it's going to overlay it anyway. So.
Got it. Okay. When you're doing the actual sales session, do you need to project then, or can you still use your laptop or your desktop computer to do the sales session?
Oh, yeah. I'd always use projection simply because people can sit down and see everything at a decent size. Because on a laptop, everything is just so much smaller. Because I don't show them their photographs one at a time using Room View. I only use Room View once they've kind of made their selection of their favorites. So I'm going through the photographs, you know, one at a time on the screen. and showing them, you know, going through, you know, do you prefer this one or this one? And we get it down to their favorites. And Pro Select actually has kind of three folders where at the press of a button, you press number one and it goes into the happy face folder. Press number two on your keyboard and it goes into the not sure folder. Press number three and it goes into the grumpy face, which means they don't want it. So once we've done that, and we've got a bunch of happy faces, hopefully, then I say, okay, now we've got a more manageable number. Let's decide on what you want to do with these photographs. Let's start with the one that you wanted to put on your wall. Which one would you like to put on the wall? And then when they tell me, that's when I move across to room view.
Right. Okay. Got it. This is great, mate. This is really good stuff. One of the other questions that I did ask you before I invited you onto the show, and I felt embarrassed asking you this question, but I really wanted to get a sense of what your thoughts were. And the question was, I can see you have a lot of great information on your website, but visually, the design looks a little older than those from most of my guests that I have on the show. What are your thoughts on that? Do you remember what you replied?
Yeah, I do.
First of all, were you offended when I said that?
No, not at all. No. It's a kind of a common, I don't get asked it by my clients, obviously, but actually get a lot of people saying, in fact, I got it today. Somebody sent me an email last night and they said they were actually looking for somebody to do one-to-one training. I do one-to-one training with, you know, aspiring photographers in my neighborhood. And they said, I've been looking at various websites and been doing some research and your website kind of impressed me the most. So I actually get feedback like that mostly, but I get what you're saying because it doesn't look pretty because the photographs aren't really, really big on the screen. There's not lots of nice white space. There's lots of words and it's a pretty full to the brim website. You know, there's no sort of white space or dead space, as I would call it. And I guess that's why people sort of say, you know, it maybe looks a little bit, you could say cluttered or whatever. But I guess my response to you was, it works. I'm getting clients through it. And I'd rather have a website that doesn't look so pretty but gets me inquiries than have one that looks pretty and, you know, could win a website award, but it's not going to win me any clients. So I think one of the biggest mistakes people make with any website, whether it's a photography one or any other website, is they feel that people don't read anymore. They just think people just want to get on the website, find the information they want and get off as quickly as possible. Nobody reads anymore. Everybody's got short attention spans. We're all tweeting and reading Facebook posts and that's it. But people, if they care about something, they will read. I mean, if it's their wedding, I mean, you don't get much more important than somebody's wedding. If they care about their wedding photographer, they're going to read. They're going to find out, why should they pick you? What's important? What are you doing differently to another photographer? They want to find out whether you're going to be the right personality fit as well as photographic fit for them. You know, they're going to spend like 8-10 hours with you on their wedding day. You might be talented, but you're going to be one of those sort of grumpy photographers that's going to be bullying everybody and shouting at the kids. So they want to get that vibe from your website. They want to feel like they get that they know you a little bit. So, yeah, my website has a lot of words on it because I want to get my personality across. I want to get across the fact that I'm there to help. Nothing's too much trouble. I do use a video on there as well, so people can kind of see the whites of my eyes and actually kind of, yeah, see me speaking and actually see me as well. So that really helps. Video helps. But as we all know, video alone isn't great for Google rankings. That's another great thing about having lots of words on your website. You're going to get ranked better on Google. That's one of the many elements that Google looks at is, you know, do you have the keywords on there? There's about 8 or so things that Google look at when they're ranking your website. One of them is, does it have the keywords? Another one would be, how long do people spend on the website? Are they just going there, spending 30 seconds on the website and then leaving? Or are they spending, you know, on average 2-3 minutes on the website? Google's going to look at that and go, well, if they're spending 2 or 3 minutes, it must be a more valuable website. So I'm putting useful information on there, which my clients are going to find helpful to help them stick around a little bit longer and, again, build that rapport with them. Google's also looking for how many links are going to your website. So people are going to link to me if my website's more useful as well. So there's lots of reasons why I to put a lot of writing on my website. Blogging's good as well because it means you're updating your website on a regular basis. So again, Google says, oh, okay, well, this website's kind of active and there's lots going on every week or every few days. New information is going on there. So that helps your Google ranking and so on and so on. So
do you find that other people or other businesses are linking to your website? Like, is that a strategy that you have in place, or do you just hope people link to you?
Right. So let's take a wedding as an example. I always make friends, if you like, with the other wedding vendors at any given wedding. So I would write a blog post and link to the other wedding vendors, give them a bit of a shout out on the blog. And then, you know, very often they link back either via their own website or via social media, which is valid as well. You know, social media links are valid. And so I'm looking at how I can help those wedding vendors as well. So when I'm either at the wedding or before the wedding, I will get in touch with those vendors and say, let's take before the wedding, for example. I'll say, okay, I'm going to be photographing Bert and Martha's wedding next month.
Very English names.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, is there anything that you'd like me to, or any photographs you particularly like me to capture for your own purposes? I'll be happy to do that for you. You know, there's no charge. So I might reach out in that way to a wedding supplier. And then I always go around offering the images, obviously with the client's permission, to the wedding suppliers and saying, you know, here are the images from last month's wedding. You can use them however you'd like. And I'm always just trying to be helpful and make friends in the industry. And I, you know, created Animoto videos for other wedding suppliers' websites. I guess a lot of your listeners know what Animoto is, but it's basically like a very posh slideshow on steroids set to music, and you can put words on there. And, you know, so it's just a very nice slideshow. And so I've created those for other wedding vendors as well. So anything I can do to help. I've even created little albums for wedding venues at my own cost.
Yeah, right. Okay. So you're really doing everything you can for them to talk about you, refer you, link to you.
Yeah.
Anything you can think of that's going to help them.
That's it. And ultimately, you know, it's the law of reciprocity. It's if you help enough people enough times and they can see you're genuine and you really are following through every time and it's part of your natural workflow, that after I do a wedding or before I do a wedding and after I do a wedding, I'm reaching out and seeing how I can help, then people will take note. And if it's a wedding venue, for example, which wedding photographer are they going to want to recommend? Is it the one that helps them after every wedding, you know, or is it somebody that, you know, they don't hear from one year to the next? Yeah. So
it's pretty obvious, isn't it? It's going to be that helpful photographer.
Yeah, as long as obviously the photographer is doing a good job and is, you know, getting good feedback from the clients and so forth as well. But yeah, it's certainly a great start. And yeah, you literally make friends. You know, I even go around at Christmas. This time of year, I'm going around, drop into their businesses, you know, with a cupcakes or any other little gifts or something that I can do. So I'm sticking my head in and saying hi from time to time as well. So I'm like a little bald Santa Claus as well.
So which vendors will you be doing that to? Is that going to be only the, you know, the people higher up in the food chain, or are you going to be going to florists and makeup artists and hairstylists as well? Or is it only going to be the reception venues and maybe the celebrants?
Right. So yeah, that's a really good question. So yeah, all things being equal, I'm more likely to go to a bridal store or a wedding venue because, yeah, they are, as you say, higher up the food chain in terms of, you know, you don't tend to get referred by a makeup artist because they're usually chosen after the photographer. However, I will still offer the CDs of the images for them to use for sure. Every time I'm at a wedding, makeup artist is one of the people that you nearly always see at the wedding, and the hairstylist as well. So I always say, grab their card or give them my card and say, look, if there's any images that you want, then I'm more than happy to give them to you. So I certainly don't ignore the people lower down the food chain at all.
That's nice. Hopefully they'll be stopping in to drop you off a cupcake to say thanks to you.
Yeah, nobody ever brings me cupcakes.
That's what should be happening. Maybe they'll listen to this and do the same.
But yeah, but I'd rather they brought me clients, and they do. So that's fine. I'll settle for clients.
You know, I want to get to how to become the most famous photographer in town, because that intrigues me, that question. I know that the listener's going to want to hear about that too. But just talking about or staying on the subject of getting referrals, getting bookings, you know, having lots of information on your website. What if you're talking to the new photographer? So let's say you're talking to one of those photographers and, you know, they haven't got this relationship yet with these vendors. They haven't got this portfolio. They haven't had many weddings at these venues. How would you advise them to start getting bookings? Or how did you get bookings in the beginning, you know, when you came from marketing?
Great, yes. So a cracking idea that will open up so many opportunities for you is, I never know how to say this to somebody without them initially being worried, but all I can do is say this is very easy and it's not as much work as you think it's going to be. You create a little book, okay? It's a digital book, or you could get it printed, but what we do is we interview one wedding venue, one wedding planner, a florist, hairstylist, etc., etc. So one of each. And what I did is sent them all an email. One or two I already knew, but most of them didn't know who I was because I hadn't done many weddings at that point, you know, literally just a handful of weddings. But I contacted all these different people via email, and my email subject line was, I'd like to interview you for a book I'm writing. Okay, so who's not going to open that, right? You know, we've all got some sort of an ego. And yeah, so you know that email is definitely getting opened. Okay, so which is the first battle, is if they receive an email from somebody that they don't know, they may not even bother opening it. So yeah, so you say, I'd like to interview you for a book I'm writing. I'm a wedding photographer and I'm looking to get some tips and mistakes to avoid from one wedding supplier, you know, one florist, one DJ, one this, that and the other. And, you know, I have approached you first because, you know, I admire what you're doing. You just give them a little bit of flattery, honest flattery. And then, yeah, so then you say, you know, what are your best tips and mistakes to avoid? And that's it. I literally gave them three questions to answer. Mistakes to avoid, you know, top tips. And the third one was just literally a sort of an open forum for them. I said, you know, why should somebody choose you? So again, it's a little bit of an opportunity for them to promote themselves. So what I ended up with was a book which was effectively written for me by everybody else. And, you know, I had to chase a couple of people up and I had to go back and, you know, basically tell a couple of them to, could they add a little bit more meat on the bones because they'd been a little bit short with their answers, they weren't helpful enough. So I just sort of went back and said, you know, the more helpful you make your answers, the better you're going to look, sort of thing. And I might have given them, because obviously I've got a bit of a marketing background, well, a lot of a marketing background, I was kind of giving them a few pointers as well. I was like, you might want to say this, or so yeah, I ended up with this nice book of great tips which has so many benefits. Okay, so what this has done is the people involved in the book are now going to be sending it to all of their new inquirers. So I said, you know, use this on your own. You know, every time you get an inquiry, send it out, because why wouldn't you want to? Is this is now a useful tool for your clients. If we're all sending it out, we're all kind of helping each other. And it also, because I was kind of the curator of the book, you know, I did the intro and obviously I did the tips on choosing a photographer. And yeah, I didn't pick another photographer. That would have been really stupid. As the curator, obviously, when I'm sending it out to my clients or prospects, I guess they are at that point, they're looking at that going, you know, this guy must be a bit of a player in the industry. You know, he knows all these different people. He's bothered to put this together. He obviously cares about his clients. And I also use it as like a lead capture tool on my website. So there's a little sort of, you drop in your email address and your name on my website and you will receive this book in your email. So it's saying, you know, can't remember exactly what it says, but along the lines of,
it says how to choose your ideal wedding suppliers.
Yeah, so that's basically, yeah, download my book, how to choose your ideal wedding suppliers. Yeah.
Yeah, it contains interviews with many of the area's leading wedding professionals who reveal their tips and secrets for choosing perfect wedding vendors. Perfect.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Andrew. Yeah, I noticed you downloaded it. Actually, I get a notification when somebody downloads it. So
yeah.
So I obviously can then follow up as well, and probably got an email from me just saying, you know, I hope you enjoyed the book and it was helpful. And if I can, you know, if you'd like to meet up, et cetera, then that would be great. But nothing too pushy at that stage, because there's sort of information gathering. But the book itself is sort of doing the selling for me, but more subliminally. So yeah, it has a lot of uses. I really love that idea, and anybody can use it effectively, even if you'd never photographed a wedding. I mean, I suppose the book does need to have some photographs in it, but you could literally, I guess, hire a model and hire a wedding dress and, yeah, do some photographs, so at least you can put some photographs in the book. But yeah, you could really do that from pretty much day one.
That was going to be my next question, was what did you do for photos? So you used all your own photos from the couple of weddings that you'd shot.
Yeah.
And then I guess you can update the ebook as you go as well, because it's a digital download.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can. Initially, I thought, oh, should I get it printed? But I thought, no. Yeah, as you say, you can update it and improve it. And by the way, I designed it. Nothing flashy to it. It was just like a Word document template. So it was nothing. I didn't go away to a designer or anything. I just had a basic sort of pretty little Word template. I mean, well, you've seen it. It's fine. You know, I think people can kind of overthink things sometimes, and they won't do anything unless they think it's going to be absolutely perfect. And then what happens is they don't do anything. I'd rather take action, get something done, get it shipped, get it done, even if it's 75% perfect, and then get it better as you move forward. Because as you say, with this particular idea, there's nothing stopping you. Just keep tweaking it and improving it. So yeah, just take action. That's the important thing. And we learn as we go and we improve as we go.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Right, this has been fantastic. I think that the secret of, well, maybe not of your success, but I think the secret to any success is what you said in that, you know, when you were summing up there, is to focus on one thing, get it done, and then move on to the next, you know, rather than having a lot of things half done. That really is the secret.
Yeah, it's, I got that one from a guy called Drayton Bird. He's a marketing copywriter, and he used to work for Ogilvy & Mather, which is a huge marketing agency. And he just said, it really stuck with me. He basically said, if you just put some concerted effort into one thing, maybe it's your website, maybe it's some sort of project, maybe whatever it is, and he just put, he's talking about big business generally, but if you put concerted effort for a year, because he was, again, talking about big businesses, and you would just be head and shoulders above all the other businesses in your area, because they're all sort of doing everything. They're trying to do 20 things badly rather than get one thing done really well, which kind of sounds like I'm contradicting what I said earlier, which is just get it done and then perfect it later. But put some concerted and focused effort on one thing and then move on to the next thing, and pretty soon you'll be head and shoulders above everybody else, because everybody else is just doing Facebook posts and leaving their website very static and just hoping that it, by some miracle, ends up at the top of Google. But yeah, concerted effort. My website, the reason it is, one of the reasons it's so well ranked on Google, is because of concerted effort. You know, a blog post, blogging on a regular basis, updating it, tweaking the SEO parts of it, getting links in, it takes time, but everything worthwhile does. So
sure, I totally agree. Dan, a lot of the stuff that you've talked about here, and I know we didn't get to some of the topics, are these the things that you cover in your photography program?
Yeah, many of them are, not all of them. So there's kind of two things that we do. We have a flagship product, which is called the Four-Figure Family Photography Formula Funnel.
I'm not going to even try and say that fast.
I'm going to say it slowly now. The Four-Figure Family Photography Formula Funnel. Okay, so that's basically, we call it 4FF, PFF for short. It's basically about how do you get four figures, you know, £1,000 plus from a...
Which is $2,000.
Yeah, from a single family portrait session. That's what it's about. So what steps do you have to take in terms of the marketing to attract those people in the first place, to the selling, so that how they're going to actually be... Because people don't ring me up and go, hey, Dan, you know, I've got like £2,000 or I've got £1,000 here that I want to burn. I want to get a really massive, great, big, gigantic framed portrait of my family, which is going to take up half of my living room, and you know, just tell me who to make the checkout to. It doesn't quite work like that. I wish it did, but it doesn't. Most people ring me talking about CDs, talking about 8x10s and all that stuff. We have, and again, as I said earlier, I live in a low-income city. I don't live like, you know, there are some photographers out there that are kind of teaching their programs, but they're like, I mean, God bless him, I've got his program and it's fantastic. The millionaire photographer Bradford Rowley, you know, I've learned some great stuff from him, but his studios are in Beverly Hills. He's got one in Florida, in the posh place in street in Florida, and another one in New York. And so, you know,
different clients.
Yeah, it's hard to relate to that. I mean, yes, if you're going into a studio in Beverly Hills, you kind of already know, you know, the prices are going to be what they're going to be. Whereas, you know, with me, I work for a program anyway. So the 4FF PFF program, it's the only kind of system that takes you through from the marketing through to literally packaging the photographs, everything from start to end to get those kinds of orders. So that's what's great about it. And it's like 13 videos and 4.5 hours. So it goes pretty deep. And so that's one thing that we do. And the other thing is Get Pro Photo Club itself, which is just kind of like it's a club and a subscription-based club where we can, every idea that I've ever had, I try and get on there and just keep putting more and more content on there all the time. And with that one, you have pretty much unlimited access to me for asking questions when you're lying awake at night thinking. I called us the emergency services for photographers, for family and wedding photographers, because it's like when you're sitting there going late at night going, oh, I've got this client tomorrow, what am I going to do? I've got this problem. They've been a pain all the way through this, through the session, and now I know that they're going to be complaining about the prices or whatever. You've got some headache, or you're just not getting any clients, or whatever it may be, whatever your problem may be, then fire us an email and, you know, we'll point you in the right direction. So, yeah, we're kind of like the 999. I know it's 911 in America. What is it in Australia?
It's 000.
I did not know that.
000. But, funnily enough, 911 also works. And I think, is yours 112?
It's 999 here, but I think 911 also works here. I've not tried.
Same as here, yeah.
I don't think they'd appreciate 911 and go, oh, sorry, just checking it worked. Bye.
No. So you're the product you're talking about, the four-figure family photography funnel formula, and also the Get Pro Photo Club. So that's all available at getprophotoclub.com?
Correct, yeah. And we're going to give your guys and girls a special – I've fired you over a link that will – a link and a voucher code. So it's going to – if they use that specific link and that specific voucher code, they're going to get – it's only – it's normally $39.99 for the 4FF PFF, which is ridiculous, to be honest with you. I'm sitting here talking about charging more, so I should really be charging more. But the difference here is I'm not selling my time like I am with photography. There's only so many sessions you can do in a day, whereas with 4FF PFF, obviously, you know, I don't personally come round to your house and deliver it. It's all automated, so I can be a little bit more generous. But yeah, they're going to get, so it's going to be $9.99 off, so it's going to go down to obviously £30. And we're also going to include a month free for them to look around the membership and just kind of around the club and just have a look and get a little bit more meat on the bones about what we talked about today.
Yeah, man, that's super generous. Thank you so much. That's really lovely.
No, it's a pleasure. I just love talking about this stuff, which is probably why you're probably thinking, oh, Dan, when's he going to shut up? Because I get overly excited, and because I'm one of those weird people that likes all this stuff. So
not at all. Look, I'll add links in the intro and the outro for this episode when it goes live, and let listener know where they can go exactly to get those special prices from you and check it out. And I'll add links to obviously Get Pro Photo Club and also to your website so they can check out exactly what we've been talking about. And all that stuff will be inside the show notes for this episode. Just before I let you go, Dan, and I know we've gone over time, I'd love to hear just one of these things that you're doing, you know, around the world helping people.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Just give me an example of one thing that you've done here to be the helpful person that you are.
Yeah, so the person doesn't actually have to live in that country, because if they did, then because what I want to do is meet the people, ideally. They don't have to. There's a few people on that I've sort of ticked off the list where I have done it remotely. But generally, I want it to get me in front of people that perhaps I wouldn't necessarily have met normally. So it kind of forces me out of my comfort zone and to photograph people that I wouldn't necessarily have photographed otherwise. So one of the funnier ones, I guess, was when I get my car wash at a hand car wash. And I know these guys there are all from somewhere in Eastern Europe. So one time I chatted to them and said, where are you guys all from? And he said, I won't do a Romanian accent, but he said, we are from Romania. That was pretty good, actually, wasn't it?
That was good.
All the Romanians listening are going, no, Dan, that was not good. we are from Romania. And I said, okay, cool. Are you all from Romania? And he said, yes. And I thought, oh, I was hoping I was going to be able to tick more than one off here in one go. But anyway, so they're all from Romania. So I went away and I thought, okay, what can I do? And so the next time I wanted my car washed, I went back and I basically bought like one of those big kind of pallets of Krispy Kreme donuts. It was like 12, 15 Krispy Kreme donuts or something. So I got out of my car while they were washing it. And I was like, hey, guys, I've got you these Krispy Kreme donuts. And, you know, just as kind of like a thank you. And I said, I'm doing this project. It's called the Mankind Project. And they're like staring at me thinking, what is wrong with this guy? And so I'm trying to explain to them. I'm showing them the project on my mobile phone, like on my website. I'm saying, I'm doing this project. See, I'm helping. Here are other examples of countries where I've done something nice for somebody. It's not necessarily about helping. It's about just random acts of kindness, I think is the term. And yeah, so they were just staring at me like I'm crazy. So do you mind if I just take a quick photograph? And so I just got out my camera and I've just got this photograph. You'll have to go over and look at it on the website. But there's just these two Romanian guys. Normally there was like about eight of them washing the car, but it was a quiet time and there was literally like only two of them there. So, yeah, I've just got these two Romanian guys staring in this photograph looking very, very confused. And I reckon those donuts may well have all ended up in the bin. They're probably thinking they're poisoned or something. I was some sort of neo-Nazi or something trying to, I don't know, that they look confused.
I'm looking at the photo and...
have you found it?
They don't look happy about getting these donuts. He looks like
yeah.
he's been...
Yeah. Yeah, I'd said I go around to my vendors with donuts and things sometimes. This is the least happy. Oh, that's the least happy anyone's ever looked when I've given them donuts. But
you say that he looks suspicious. That is the perfect descriptive word. He looks so suspicious. And so his mate's wondering what's going on in the background. I love it. If I can add this to the show notes for this episode, are you okay if I do that?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Fantastic. And look, I'll add links to the project as well so listeners can go and check out more of these. You've got a bunch that you've already got through. How many countries have you done so far?
I think it's 27 or 29. I've got a couple kind of ready that are sort of either done or planned in. Like there's a Lithuanian couple that I'm going to be photographing their wedding next year. So I basically sort of added something to their package. I'm doing a trash to the dress session for them because I just love doing those anyway. They're just great fun and they kind of attract the kind of clients that I like working with. So anyway, yeah, I'm doing that. I've got a few lined up in the holster, but yeah, I'm still like about 160 or so away from finish. I'm a long way off. So it's a lifetime project.
Fantastic. I love it. It's a great idea, mate. It's really good. Dan, look, I could talk to you all day. I really could, but I won't. I've got to let you go. I know I said an hour. We've already gone way over that. So look, thank you so much for coming on, for sharing what you have. I'm looking forward to making this one live and sharing a little bit more about you with the listeners. So again, mate, thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And you would always be welcome at Get Pro Photo Club. We're loving what you do. And yeah, it's just been an absolute pleasure. I love talking about this stuff and I want to be able to pick your brains as well. And I'm always looking for new ideas and I'm sure there's lots you can teach me as well. So you're always welcome.
Fantastic. Thanks, Dan.
Cheers. Thanks, Andrew. Bye now.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Dan Waters. Dan, if you're listening again, mate, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks for being so open and for sharing as much as you have. And also, I've got to say a big thanks for answering those questions that I put to you before I invited you onto the show. And the way you answered them so candidly was refreshing. And I knew right then that you would make a perfect guest for the show, which you have done. So again, mate, thank you so much. For you, the listener, if you want to learn more from Dan and check out his Get Pro Photo Club and the different courses and webinars that he's got on offer, head over to photobizx.com/getprophoto. If you use the promo code PHOTOBIZX, you'll save 25% off the four-figure family photography formula funnel. Man, that is a tongue twister. And you'll also get a month's access to the vault of webinars that you'll find on the website. So again, that's photobizx.com/getprophoto and use the promo code PHOTOBIZX. It's not an expensive product. You'll get a good idea of how to build a family photography business quickly, how to build up the bookings, how to price your photography, how to do the sales. It's all in there in that step-by-step guide. And you heard from Dan. I mean, he is super helpful. So if you've got follow-up questions for him, I'm sure you can email him via the contact form on his website. You can also use the comments area inside the show notes for this episode And you'll also find links as well as the comments area in the show notes that will take you to anywhere or anything that Dan mentioned in today's episode. You can find the show notes over at photobizx.com/195. Feel free to hit Dan up for any follow-up questions or if you just want to say thanks for coming on the show. And if there's anything that Dan mentioned or shared in the show that you thought, yeah, you know, I'm going to implement that. That's something that I can use right now. I would love to hear about that too. I know Dan would as well. Was there something that he shared that you can use?
It's shout out time.
I've got three big shout outs for today's episode. The first one, I don't know exactly who this is, but I love the username. It's Is Chocolate from Australia. Is Chocolate, you've got to let me know who you are because I want to add a link from the show notes to your website and say a proper thanks by giving you some SEO juice. But I absolutely love what you've written in your review. It's flattering. And it's also a big help to me. It helps other photographers find the podcast and understand that it could be a good fit for them. Is Chocolate says in their first paragraph, I'm only 3 years into my photography business, but listening to Andrew's podcast the last 2 weeks, I feel like I've gained a decade's worth of knowledge. That is just awesome. I love reading stuff like that and shows that I'm on the right track and putting out content that's worth listening to. So Is Chocolate, let me know who you are so I can say a proper thanks. Another big shout out to Robert Burbley of RSB Photography in the UK. Rob specializes in photo manipulation for portrait and fashion photography clients. His website was awesome. I've linked to it in the show notes. I love what you're doing, Rob. Love your photography. Love your post-processing. It's very, very cool. And again, a big thanks for leaving that review in iTunes. It's a massive help for me. The third and final shout out for today's episode goes to Louise Rogers. She's a wedding photographer in Dorset, UK. And she said so many nice things. I'm not going to read them. It's too flattering. Louise, you are an absolute gem. Thanks so much for leaving the review that you have. It's very humbling. I love that you feel like you know me and Linda personally because of the podcast. I'm guessing that also has a fair bit to do with the Premium Members Facebook group and what goes on over there. It's certainly a lot of fun and it's fun having you a part of the group as well. So Louise, thank you again from the bottom of my heart for leaving the review that you did and for being the person that you are. Thank you.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Things have been pretty hectic around here following the Black Friday special. It is still available if you're listening to this podcast episode when it went live or shortly afterwards, which is Cyber Monday, I believe is the correct term. The Black Friday special is a 12-month PhotoBizX premium membership. It's $120, which is half the price if you were to go the $20 monthly option. So that is still available if you go to photobizx.com/Black Friday. There's been lots of new photographers and also existing listeners take up the offer. It really is the cheapest way to get a premium membership. It'll never be cheaper than that. So if you're on the fence, if you're thinking about it, jump in now. It is tax deductible for you if you have a registered photography business. So you can claim that as a business expense, which brings the price down even more. And I can absolutely guarantee that you'll make your money back if you are one of these photographers that can implement just some of the things that you learn in the podcast. And if you can't, or you feel that you don't get $120 worth of value in the 12 months that you listen, then you let me know and I'll give you a 100% refund, no questions asked. I stand 100% and fully behind the content that goes out. And like I said, if you're able to implement what you hear, you will get your money's worth plus multiple times more than the outlay. And if you're going to be jumping from the $20 monthly payments to the Black Friday special, make sure you sign up for the Black Friday special first and then go in and cancel your existing payments via the automatic payments dashboard inside your PayPal account. And that way you get to keep your existing username, your password, your RSS feed. Nothing will change. You just jump onto the cheapest possible option for your membership and it'll be an annual payment instead of a monthly one at half what you were paying. And if you've got any questions about any of this stuff, you can reach me via email. It's andrew@photobizx.com.
Connect with Andrew on Twitter. You can tweet him at Andrew Helmich.
This next announcement is a tough one for me. I've never had to do anything like this on the podcast before. And I've wrestled with whether or not I should even do this because I was always brought up to say nothing at all if I haven't got something nice to say. It's tough. But look, I interviewed Nathan Elson a little while ago And it was a great interview. He is a super talented photographer. His photography is amazing. I talked about in last week's episode that he's released some Lightroom presets, and on his work, they look amazing. And you can see that on his behind-the-scenes videos. You can see it when you go and visit the presets webpage. They look fantastic. I'm not a Lightroom user, and I also don't shoot in RAW, so I wasn't able to test these presets. So I asked Nathan if I could send them out to a couple of members, which he agreed to. They went away and tested the presets for me and came back with a review. And I heard similar things from each of the reviewers. They weren't great. My feeling is I should be sharing the feedback that these photographers came back with about the presets for a couple of reasons. The first is that I shared the details of the presets last week without actually having used them first. And that was probably a little premature. I should have waited until the reviews came in. Then I could have gone back to Nathan and said, hey, these are the reviews. It's probably not worth me mentioning these on the show. Or you might want to go back and review some of the things, or, you know, how do you want me to tackle this? So that was my mistake. And I think the other positive or benefit that could come out of this is I know that creating Lightroom presets or actions is a pretty popular thing. It's a way that photographers are using to generate some more income, share their processes, build a following, and you know, all those good things that we hear about from other entrepreneurs. But looking at the comments or the feedback from these photographers, it shows me that if you are going to be coming out with something, it's either got to be good right from the start and be comparable to what's already on offer, or you just have to use that as a learning experience and build from there. So some of the comments that I heard back from the reviewers are in regard to installing. They say they've installed presets before, so it wasn't too hard, but it would be a good idea to include some instructions on how to install the presets, especially for novices. So there were no instructions included with the preset files. I asked if they were easy to use, and the reviewers said, easy enough, click on the preset, then tweak the exposure / white balance to suit. I asked if there's anything you particularly liked or didn't like about the presets. And here are some of the comments. Some of the presets affect exposure and white balance. This is a big no-no in my book. So I heard that same comment from multiple reviewers. I find when editing, each photo can have a radically different exposure or white balance that needs to be set independent of the look that a preset provides. The ratio of black and white to color presets was 4:1, so there's not many color options to choose from, which in Nathan's defense, he mainly processes in black and white, and these presets reflect that. One of the reviewers also said that the black and whites are not true black and white, but rather color presets with a saturation turned to minus 100. This is throwing away lots of good options for tweaking the black and white mix. That reviewer went on to say, the point above, maybe why it felt like skin tones don't jump out in these presets. I always try to get my presets to help make the skin tones pop in the image, since 99.9% of the time, the main thing you are looking for in a photo will be the skin tones of a person. I also asked the reviewers if these presets will fit in with your current workflow for weddings or portraits. So I think the most helpful answer here was, okay, so after 30 minutes or so of playing around, I don't think I'll be exploring these presets further. There are enough things that make me doubt the standard of the presets. I could keep digging into what makes them different or if there are interesting things going on. But when we already have some pretty cool presets out there from Visco, Looks Like Film, Red Leaf, etc., the standard has to be high right from the start. And my gut feeling is these presets fall short of that standard. So yeah, like I said, it's tough to do or read a review like that, especially coming from someone who spent so much time talking to Nathan, following him on Instagram, loving what he does. And I can see that the results he's getting from these presets is fantastic. So whether or not they're going to fit into your workflow, it sounds like you might have to check them out and do a bit of investigation yourself, but it's not looking great. If you do want to have a look at these yourself, head over to nathanelson.com/presets. I know they're 50% off at the moment and they are only $12, so it's not a big outlay. Again, I don't know how that compares to other presets that are out there. It sounds cheap to me, but if they're not going to be doing what you want them to do, I guess it's still expensive. Just to finish off for today's episode, I have an interview scheduled with Cole, who is one half of the duo from Nautica Photography. And these guys are also the organizers behind the Way Up North Conference for Photographers. In the lead up to that interview going live, Cole and I have been chatting via email, and we were also chatting about the Way Up North Conference. And he's put together a discount code for PhotoBizX listeners. The conference is in Italy in 2017. All the details are at wayupnorth.co. So if you're interested in going to that conference, Use the promo code PHOTOBIZX up to January 15th, 2017, and you'll save yourself €10 off the ticket price. There's a full list of speakers and itinerary. Everything's all there at wayupnorth.co. And that interview with Cole will be coming out late in the year or early in 2017, so look out for that one. Alrighty, that is it for this week. Lots of ground covered. If you want to check out anything that was mentioned in today's episode, head over to photobizx.com/195. There's links there. There's a list of the promo codes. There's examples of Dan's work. It's all there for you. photobizx.com/195. Have an awesome week. I look forward to chatting to you in the comments area, in Facebook or via email before the next episode. All right, have an awesome week and I'll chat to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.